reactive, frantic, disorganized, unfocused, and stressed. How many of you would use some of those words to describe your life, your family, some things like that? Well, I want to welcome you to our new series entitled Fam versus Wild. And for the next several weeks, in fact, this series is going to last the entire month of May. When we dug into it, we just thought, man, we really want to unpack some things, possibly into the first weekend in June. And we want to equip your family not only how to survive, but to actually thrive in wild times. I want to let you know that today's message is just an introduction. It kind of sets up the rest of the series. So if you have your Bibles, I want you to go to Exodus chapter 19. We've been reading Exodus in our daily Bible reading. And my messages this year are out of our daily Bible reading. How many of you are a little surprised we're going to pull a family series out of the book of Exodus? We are going to do it in Jesus' name. So let me give you some context. I'm going to begin reading in chapter 19 in just a moment, but I wanted to give you a little context out of Exodus 12:38. Obviously, when we get to chapter 19, Moses, or God through Moses, has led the children of Israel up out of the land of Egypt and into the wilderness, into the wild. And in Exodus 12:38, it tells us that a mixed multitude went up with them also. I just want to bring that context that it wasn't just the Jewish people, but it was a mixed multitude. People from all races joined the Jews as they came up out of Egypt and into the wild. Then in Exodus 19, verse 1, it says, "In the third month after the children of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt, on the same day they came into the wilderness of Sinai. For they had departed from Rephidim and had come into the wilderness of Sinai and camped in the wilderness. So Israel camped there before the mountain. And Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, 'Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians, how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine.'" I want to talk to you today about how to thrive in these wild times, you and your family. And I've entitled this message, Into the Wild. Into the Wild. Let's pray. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. Thank you for your word. God, for these next few moments, I pray that we would have hungry hearts, God, that we would have ears to hear what you're saying to us and our families. God, we thank you that you love us and you are for us and you are for our family. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen and amen. You know, many of you know, before we moved to Jacksonville, before we started Celebration Church, I used to do a lot of mission work down in the Amazon jungle. And I would lead teams into the wild, so to speak, and we would go into the Amazon and plant churches and do crusades and all that kind of stuff. And so when Carrie and I got engaged, my beautiful wife and I, when we got engaged, I would bring Carrie with me on these teams down into the wild, and I would lead her into the wild. And the reason was obviously because we thought that maybe, you know, God might call me to the Amazon full time or call us maybe to live down there for a season or something like that. So I began to bring Carrie with me down to the Amazon jungle. And a couple of things about the Amazon jungle. The two toughest challenges when you go into the Amazon, the first one is the bugs, okay? Despite all the, you know, sleeping in huts and piranhas and witch doctors and bats and, you know, wrestling gigantic snakes. Okay, maybe I didn't wrestle gigantic snakes, but besides all of those types of things, we are into the wild. Wild media today. But besides all of those things, really the biggest two problems, the first thing was the bugs, man. The bugs, man, they would just eat you. And when the gringos would show up down in the Amazon jungle, it was like the buffet is on. You know what I'm saying? And we try to get, you know, all that kind of stuff. I mean, those bugs in the Amazon, they could care less about that stuff. That was just like seasoning. You know what I'm saying? In fact, I'll never forget one time we found this stuff. They told me about this stuff 100% DEET. Like, you got to get it at the Army Surplus Store. This is like secret co-ops, you know, stuff they use down the armed forces down in the jungles. And I put some on my wrist, and the DEET actually ate some of the plastic off my watch. I thought, all right, this might work. Finally, I might have something. And I'll never forget the first time I went down to the jungle. I took out my DEET, and I put it on my arm like that. I hadn't had it on about 5 seconds, and a big old Amazon mosquito just plopped down there right on my arm and just began to suck away, man. DEET didn't do anything to him, and you would get so many bug bites the first week, you would actually start running a fever, and then your body would just kind of have a breakthrough, and you would get used to it. But that was very, very difficult. And then the other thing that was extremely difficult was the dysentery. So we go down to the jungle, and obviously you'd pick up parasites, and you're drinking water out of the river and stuff like that. So you'd always get some amoebas, parasites, something like that, bacteria, and you get dysentery. But the toughest thing about the dysentery was not just the dysentery, but how you had to deal with the dysentery. Because when you were in these villages in the Amazon, there was one community toilet. And that toilet was not like the nice Western commodes that we all are able to use today. But in a village, there would be one community toilet. And what it would be is it would basically be a big hole dug in the ground. And they'd put some bamboo around it. And if you had to go, you would go to that hole. Anyone in the village. And you would go to that hole. And they would have two boards over the hole. And you would put your feet on those boards and do your stuff. So you can imagine when you had dysentery and you were sick and you were going every 30 minutes to an hour and having to go out there in over 100 degrees in the jungle with all the bugs and deal with all that sickness and then have to deal with that. You can imagine the smell. You can imagine everything going on with that. And then the icing on the cake was, in most villages, what you would notice after you would go to the bathroom in the community hole, you'd see the pigs come in. The village pigs, the farm pigs. And they would go in and they would clean the bathroom for you. And what would make that more interesting would be dinner that night. When you came in and you found out that the Indians, yes, they were having pig for dinner. Are you glad that your pastor has survived? Out of the wild. And one time, my poor wife, one time, Carrie, I felt so bad. I brought her on this trip, and this was a really rough trip. I mean, we were deep into the wild. We were deep into the jungle, and she had dysentery, and bless her heart, she was just going out there, the community hole, and it was so hot, and she had had it for a couple of days. Man, I remember one night she was on the team would sleep in huts, and she was on the floor, and it was like her last calling out to me, maybe giving me her last wishes or whatever. She's like, Stowall. And I came over to her and I was like, baby, what can I do for you? And she says, she was so sweet. She says, I love you so much. And I just want to let you know I'll follow you anywhere. I'll go anywhere with you. I'll go to the jungle with you. I'll go anywhere. I just want you to promise me one thing. I just need you to do one thing for me. Promise me that wherever we go, you will get me a Western toilet that I can go to the bathroom on. All I ask you for is just one nice commode. I was like, baby, look, you need a toilet, man. I'm your man. I can do it, honey. I will get you a toilet. I will get you a nice American commode no matter where we go. You can count on me, baby. Can I tell you today? I stand before you. My wife today has access to 4 American commodes. Toilets in her house. Come on, because our God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could think or ask. That's right. I fulfilled my end of the deal. And ironically, here in Exodus chapter 19, here we have God bringing the children of Israel out of Egypt and into the wilderness, promising them that he is going to provide for them what they need. And Israel, really this throng of mixed people, they're sick, not a physical sickness, but they have a sickness of their mind, a sickness in their attitude. And just to give you a little bit of context here that I think many times we read it, but we really don't understand how it affected these people. Remember, Israel had been slaves for 400 years. Now y'all think about that. In slavery, prison-type conditions for 400 years. Slavery anywhere in the world is horrific. It is atrocious. And if you look around the world and you understand periods, even in our country when there was slavery, it was terrible, it was horrific. All around the world, there are people that have been put into bondage. But in most of those situations, as horrible as it is, it doesn't last for more than 50 to 100 years. Imagine the children of Israel 400 years as slaves, abused, dominated, illiterate. Many of them put to death. They were serving a pagan nation who would do things like this. And you read about it in Exodus. Oh, the children of Israel are getting too numerous. Okay, y'all go on down there and just kill all the male babies. Every baby that's born. This was 2 million people. The children of Israel at this time, they were larger than the city of Jacksonville, counting men, women, and children. We have about 1.3, 1.4 million in the greater Jacksonville area. 2 million people. Go and kill all their male babies. Can you imagine right now if policemen were at every single hospital, every place where people had babies, and every single male baby that was coming out of the womb they were killing? Can you imagine what that would do to a society? What that would do to a people? Slavery 400 years, never allowing them not being able to organize socially, being illiterate, and then in this pagan nation that would do these horrific things to them, in a pagan nation where, see, Egypt, they were polytheist. Polytheism is the worship of many gods. In the land of Egypt, they would worship hundreds of gods. Well, this had gotten in the children of Israel. It had been 400 years since the days of Jacob. They were all polytheists. They all had idols. They all just worshiped. They would worship the Lord too. They would just worship a bunch of other gods. So this explains the way that God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. He wanted to teach them a very important lesson. Those 10 judgments on the land of Egypt, those were directed at the 10 main false gods of Egypt. So what God begins to teach them is that, hey, I'm a God above other gods. And then when he brings them out further, he starts teaching them things, and you'll see this in the commandments and all this. You know, hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, there is one God. You shall have no idols. There shall be nothing else before the Lord your God. He's teaching them that there's going to be one God, that he's going to be their God. He's getting this polytheistic mentality, the worship of many gods, out of them. And of course, we saw that there was a mixed multitude. So you think about, here comes these people, been abused, dominated, illiterate, pagan, idol worshipers, worship many gods. But then not only that, they come out, here's all these mixed multitude, as the Bible says, different ideas, different cultures, different social structures. Do you see how difficult God's job is here? Because here's what he's trying to do, and how do you do this? How do you take this factioned, mixed multitude of slaves and people that just saw themselves in the most terrible way? How do you take these people and bring them out into the wilderness? Not a big, nice, plush city. Bring them out into the wilderness and make them not only a nation, but a family. And make them not only a family, but a cohesive fighting force. How many of you know God had his work cut out for him? And can I tell you this? If God was able to take that throng of a mixed multitude with all their factions and craziness and bring them out into the wilderness and make them a cohesive fighting force, God can do the same thing for your family. And that's what we have in our culture today. We have too many families. They're not a cohesive fighting force. They're just kind of this the people that are related. There's factions. Everybody doing their own thing. They don't see themselves as a cohesive fighting force with identity and purpose. And so instead of it being fam versus wild, it's actually fam versus fam. And maybe some of you came out of some of those families. It wasn't, you know, fam versus wild and us trying to prevail. In very uncertain and wild times, so to speak, but it was fam versus fam. Jesus says, a house divided against itself cannot stand. Right. And the first thing that you have to understand is that God has called you, to, you and your family to be a cohesive fighting force. And if you will say yes to that, you will not only survive in wild times, but you will thrive in wild times, and you will see your family be blessed and be everything that God's called it to be. Come on, can you give God a hand for that? So, okay, so think about this. Okay, so how is God going to do this? How in the world is he going to take all this craziness? I mean, he's taking wild people and bringing them into the wild. It's wildness all around. How is he going to do this? How is he going to make these people have any type of cohesive fighting force? God does something, and he offers to Israel a vehicle that was very common in that day. This is why at Celebration Church, we believe in relevance. Relevance is pertaining to the issues at hand. We believe that the church should be relevant, that the church should pertain and be relevant to the issues that you deal with in your everyday life. So what God does, he offers something that was very relevant back in this day, and that is a covenant. Okay? This idea, a lot of people think that covenant originated with God right here in Mount Sinai. It didn't. Covenant had been going on for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and even more than 1,000 years by the time we see this episode here at Mount Sinai. And basically what a covenant was, think about this. Back in the day here, everything was done through the context of family. Okay, everything that was tribal, everything was done through the context of family. And so what a covenant was a way for families or tribes or eventually nations. It became the most popular political language around in that day. What nations would do, see, family, everything was processed through the context of family. When you were family, you got the greatest loyalty. And so what these nations would do is they would come and they would say, hey, let's cut a covenant. Even though we're not family technically, we can cut a covenant and we can come into a relationship where we act like family, even though technically we're not related. Why? Because family brought the greatest loyalty. So what you would see is you would see nations coming into covenant with each other. Usually there would be a stronger one and there would be a weaker one. And usually how it would look is the stronger one would come to the weaker one and the stronger one would say, hey, look, we like you guys. Let's do this. Let's cut a covenant. Let's have the loyalty and faithfulness to one another just like a family would. Let's cut a covenant. And so here's the deal. You let us trade in your land, and if we go fight, you come fight with us and all that kind of stuff. Let's be one together. And then if any other powerful nation comes and tries to invade you, even though that you're smaller, we will come in, we will protect you, we will provide for you. Do you see how it works? It would produce loyalty and faithfulness between two nations. And what they would always offer when they cut a covenant was a blood sacrifice. What's the principle of blood? When you're family, you're blood. So they would cut a blood sacrifice, and they would do something like this. They would cut a sacrifice, and you can read about this, the language in ancient covenants. They cut a sacrifice, and so let's say they had an ox. They'd cut the shoulder off the ox, and they would say something like, so let this shoulder that I just cut off, let it be my shoulder if I don't fulfill and perform the promises of this covenant. And so they would kill this animal, and they basically said, hey, so let it, just like we killed this animal, so let it be to us if we don't fulfill the promises of this covenant and remain loyal to one another. And so here's God bringing Israel into the wilderness, and when God comes and he says, look, I want to cut a covenant with you. I'll be your God. I'll protect you. I'll provide for you. You be my people. You be faithful to me. Have no other gods before you. When God offers Israel covenant, I mean, it like blows their mind. And it does a couple of things. First of all, when God says, Israel, I'm offering you a covenant for the first time, they saw themselves as a nation. This is what nations do. This is the political language we've seen Egypt use with other. But not only is God saying that we're a nation, God himself, he's not a nation. He's a person. He's God. So by God wanting a covenant with us, he's saying that we're not only a nation, but we're also a family. We're a family. And then God begins to unpack and he says, look, I'll be your God. You be my people and I'll provide for you and I'll bless you and you be faithful to me. You get rid of all these other gods. You be loyal to me. I love you. I'm going to make you a special treasure. I'm going to make you unique over all the other families in the world. If you will allow me to be your God. And this must have blown Israel's mind. And here's what God is saying to you today. Listen, if you will allow God to be your God, and if you will be God's family, can I tell you this? In the wilderness that we live in, God will teach you not just how to survive, but he will teach you how to thrive. And this is what God begins to lay out to Israel. He says, look, you let me be your God. You be my people. You be my family. And I will teach you how not only to survive in the wilderness, but to thrive. And you better get ready because you're out in the wilderness and everybody's going to be out to get you. How many of you feel like that? It's like, man, this world, it's like everything is out to destroy the family. And God's saying, everyone's going to be out to get you. You're going to have the Perizzites and the Amorites and the Nanites, and they're all going to be coming with bites and they're going to bite your behind. Like those bugs in the jungle. He's saying this, but look, let me be your God, you be my family, and I will teach you not just how to survive, I'll teach you how to thrive, and I'll bring you into this place of promise that they called the Promised Land. The Promised Land represented the place of more than enough. God's saying, look, I'll bring you out of the wild and into this place where you'll have more than enough. And isn't that what we're constantly saying to ourselves in our current culture? Man, I don't have enough time. I don't have enough time for my family. I don't have enough organization in my life. I don't do enough for my kids. I don't do enough for my wife. We don't have enough money. How do I juggle this? Both husband and wife both work, and it's not just a 40-hour work week anymore. It's a 60-hour work week, and lines are all blurred, and how do I get involved in my kids' school? And then I have three kids, and each one of them have three activities, and how do I juggle all that? How do I stay involved? And then I'm constant. I mean, you got the computers and the Facebook and the texting, and how do I stay on top of all of that and the internet and the website and where you going and who you talking to, what you doing? I'm going crazy. I don't have enough, God. I don't have enough. I don't have enough time. I don't have enough wisdom. I don't have enough people helping me, watching everything. God, I don't have enough. You know what God's saying? You be my family. I'll be your God. I'm going to bring you into a place of more than enough. You'll have more than enough time. You'll do more than enough with your kids. You'll have more than enough in your marriage. Man, come on. You won't just have one toilet. God will give you four toilets. Can you thank God we serve a four-toilet God? But here's what we do. Here's what we do as people. Here's what we say. Oh, Stovall, that sounds so great. Okay, Stovall, great. Here I am. Here's me. Here's my wife. I'm not having my kids. I'm not having my wife. I'm not having my kids. I'm not having my wife. I'm bringing them out now. Don't hide your kids. Don't hide your wife. We're ready. We're ready. Okay, we're going to be God's family. We're ready. Okay, let's go. Stovall, wave your magic preacher hand over my family. Make all the bad things disappear. Make all the good things happen. And let us go dancing and prancing in the dandelions. Remember when God brought Israel out? See, Israel they had become so messed up by the culture. When God begins to bring them out and he's taken them to this promised land, he begins to speak to them and he begins to say, look, you're not slaves. Let me tell you something about yourself. You're the head, you're not the tail. You're above and you're not beneath. You need to be strong. You're not weak. You need to be strong. You need to be very courageous. You're not going to be illiterate anymore. In fact, you're going to be known as the wisest people in all the earth. I'm going to take you. I'm going to make you my special treasure. You're going to be the apple of my eye. What is God doing? Israel had become sick, so to speak. They had gotten dysentery from the culture, so to speak. And God's leading them to a place of promise. But as he's doing that, God understands it's going to take time. He's bringing this throng of mixed multitudes. You know, everyone has a different idea about life, hurt, damaged, abused. He's taking these people and he's training them. And the first thing he's doing is letting them know how much he loves them. And he's saying, look, you need to see yourself differently. You need to start thinking differently. You need to start acting differently. You need to know that I have a plan for your life. You need to know that there's purpose for your life. What's God doing? He's giving Israel an identity. He's telling them who they are. And in the same way, so many of us have come out of broken homes and we're in a sick culture and we want God to fix everything real fast. But the first thing God has to do is let us see ourselves and him in the proper light. He's got to give us an identity. He's got to change the way that we think. We got to see ourselves in the right way. Y'all aren't helping me in here. He's saying, you're not that way anymore. I love you. You have purpose. You have a mission. I am for you. And God's saying, if you will begin to see yourself like I see you, you're going to begin to rise above, and I'm going to bring you into this place of more than enough. And that's what God would say to us today. Listen, he wants you to rise up, and he will bring you to a place in this crazy wild world that we live, a place of more than enough, where truly you can be the person of God and your family can be the family that God's called you to be, and you'll have more than enough. Now, and that goes for everyone, singles. If you're single, you need to decide right now. Listen, your family is going to be a family of God. Your spouse or your future spouse or your next spouse, your fifth spouse, your sixth spouse, your wherever you are, we're going to look, it's all in the past. Let's get it right going forward. What was I talking about? You got to decide right now, your family, your kids, we're going to be a family, a household of God. We're coming into this covenant. That is who we're going to be. I'm telling you right now, and if you're single, I'm just getting ready. I've told Josh and Sub 30 leadership, get ready, because after the royal wedding, now all the singles are going to be wanting to get married. The royal wedding done stirred everything up. That was a beautiful wedding, wasn't it? It really was. It was a beautiful wedding. You know what? You could have a beautiful wedding too if you spent $1 billion on your wedding. You know how much the royal wedding cost? The event, just the event, $1 billion. Weren't those flowers nice? The flowers alone cost over $2 million. The security cost $33 million. Here's what I thought. If Celebration Church could have volunteered as the security at the royal wedding, they could have given us the $33 million and we could have built Bay Meadows and 9A for CAT. Listen, I'm all for it. You know what my favorite character is Mom, Queen Mom. Did y'all? I'll tell you, you don't mess with the queen, man. How many of you know? She didn't smile the whole wedding. So she's sporting that hat. I mean, all kind of presidents. I mean, highest level dignitaries. She just strut by them with that hat. And then look at them, give them a look like this. I mean, mom had it going on. What a beautiful royal wedding. Can I tell you this? You're royalty. You're a son of God. You're a daughter of God. And can I tell you this? If you're a covenant family with God, God gives you things that money cannot buy. He will give you blessings that $1 billion can't buy. $1 billion can't buy happiness. It can't buy fulfillment. It can't give you enough time. Are you following me? Only God can truly give you on the inside more than enough where you can be a family that not just survives but thrives in this day and age. Be God's family. So here's my question for you today. Just an introduction. We're going to talk about communication. We're going to talk about all these things. But if you don't have this as your foundation, none of those things are going to have the effect that they're supposed to have. Will you say yes? God's saying to you today, I want to be your God. You be my family. I'll bring you to the place. All this craziness, I'll bring you to a place. We're going to have to change the way you see yourself. I'm going to have to give you the right idea about what a family is. I'm going to have to show you the things that make you a cohesive fighting force. But I'll bring you to a place of more than enough. Because just like he said there in Exodus 19, you will be my special treasure. What is going to make your family unique and above every other family in the world is that you are God's family, fulfilling his purpose and his destiny. And the awesome thing that we have, we don't have a covenant that was made with an animal sacrifice. We have the greatest sacrifice that's ever been offered. God himself. Remember when I talked about in the ancient covenants, they would sacrifice an animal and they would say, so let it be to us if we don't fulfill the promises of this covenant. Well, the Bible says that we failed. We sinned. We fell short of God's glory. So we were going to be those people that were cut. Except God did what we could not do for ourselves because he loved us so much. He sent his son Jesus as a human to represent us, to fulfill that covenant and establish a new one. And he sent Jesus to offer himself as the sacrifice, the blood sacrifice for all of us, so that we could be forgiven of all of our sins and we could come into a new blood covenant with God that was not the blood of bulls or goats, but the blood of God himself. Jesus Christ no longer is you have to do, you have to perform. Jesus did it. Jesus performed it. You just have to believe in him and God's grace and mercy will come into your life and into your family. Listen, God is in you, God is with you, God is for you. And some of you, you're doing better than you think. Listen, you might think it's tough, your marriage is better than you think. You might think you're not doing a good job with your kids. I'm telling you, I'm going to bring some things out. You're probably doing a lot better than you think. What the enemy wants to do, he wants to condemn us. He wants to keep us in that slave mentality. And God's saying, no, you have my blessing. The blood of Jesus forgives all of your sins. You have the Holy Spirit that'll heal all of your hurts. You have God that knows how to bring things back from the dead. You have a God that knows how to turn it all around. You have a God that knows how to heal your marriage. You know how to God that knows. He knows how to rescue your kids. He knows how to work it all out for his good. You have a God that can bring you to a place of more than enough. Acts 16:31, I'll end with this. They said to him, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. A lot of times we stop there, but you know there's another part of that verse. You and your household. Too many times we see ourselves as just, you know, it's like us and Jesus. And our family, you know, it's them and Jesus. But God says you will be saved, you and your household. He wants you to see your household, your family, as a cohesive fighting force under the blessings of His covenant. That's what we're going to show you in the next few weeks. You won't just survive, but you'll thrive. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word. How many of you just make a declaration right now? You say, Stovall, my family, we're going to be that family. We're going to be God's family. We're going to be that in that covenant relationship with God as a family. I want you to lift your hands up right now. You're saying yes. God's asking you, I'll be your God, will you be my family? God's saying, I'll be your God, will you be my family? All of our locations, annex, just raise your hand right now if you say yes to that. Hands are up all over the place. Thank You, God. Lord, we are Your people. We're Your special treasure, God. Lord, we thank You. You're going to bring us to a place of more than enough time, more than enough things with our kids, more than enough love and laughter in our homes. Lord, because with You, all things are possible. How many of you would say this with every head bowed, every eye closed? You say, Stovall, I'm away from God, man. I need a fresh start with Jesus. I want to surrender my life to Jesus. Listen, you will be saved, you and your household. God will start coming into your household as well. If you'd say, Stovall, I need a fresh start with God. I need to surrender my life to Jesus, or I've been away from God. I need to make a fresh commitment to Him, recommit. I want you to lift up a hand right now wherever you are, all across this room. Yes, 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 yes. Yes, lots of hands up. Hold them high. All of our locations, all of our campuses, raise those hands. You're saying yes to a fresh start with God. You're saying yes to a real relationship with Jesus. You can put them down. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to say a prayer right now. I'm going to ask everybody to repeat this prayer at all of our locations. Those of you who raised your hands for a fresh start with God, and also those of you who raised your hands just saying yes to God, that He's going to be your God and you're going to be His family. I'm going to ask all of us to repeat this prayer. Let's mean it with all of our hearts, and let's help everybody say it here together. Say this with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I repent of my sin. I trust in You as my Lord and as my Savior. Lord, I thank You for forgiveness of all of my sins. I thank You for salvation and eternal life. I thank You that I'm saved. My household and my family belongs to You. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message. Our prayer is that it will help you to live a God-first life. For more information about Celebration Church and other available resources, please visit our website at www.celebration.org.